I would invite you to turn in your scriptures, in your Bibles, to a portion of scripture we're looking at this morning from Matthew chapter 6. If you want to follow along in your pew Bibles, that's on page 811. And we are going to be camped out here for the next few weeks studying the Lord's Prayer section by section. Let me read God's word beginning in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, and reading through verse 15, and focusing on that phrase, the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Hallowed be your name." But hear God's word. "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Amen to this reading of God's holy and divinely inspired word. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand through the ages. Let's pray. Father, you have given to us your holy word, but you have given us your word that it would be that lamp unto our feet, that light unto our path to lead us to Christ, who is the light of the world. Lord, pray that your Holy Spirit would give us understanding as we read your holy word, that we might have a biblical understanding of the holiness of God. But Lord, pray that that truth, that gospel truth of your holiness would be transforming our lives, that we might be your holy servants who lovingly follow Jesus. And we ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. One Shakespeare play that I believe is still required reading for almost every high school student is Romeo and Juliet. Bring us all back up to speed. It's a story of two young lovers who vow their undying love to one another despite the fierce feud between their families. When fair Juliet Capulet discovers that young Romeo, her beloved one, has the last name of Montague, she declares, and I quote from the play, "Oh, be some other name. What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet." And yet, despite their names, their last names, you know the account, these star-crossed lovers still pursue their love until its tragic end. You know, contrast the grave last names of Romeo and Juliet with the great and glorious name of God that's proclaimed here in the first petition of the Lord's Prayer. We pray this: Lord, hallowed be your name. Well, what are we praying for in this petition? Now, it is a challenge for us to understand what we are praying for in this day and age. Tried to explain a bit to the children, and looking at it again, what are we praying for in this petition? we're praying, Lord God, may you give us a glimpse of your glory. Lord, may we revere your holy name, not only as we're praying, but in our daily walk of faith with Christ. Really, we're praying, and here's the central truth, we're praying that our first priority and passion in prayer would be to be glorifying God's holy name in all of life. Well, why should it be our priority to glorify or to hallow God's name? Three truths here. Because of his holy character, and then there is a holy call as well, and finally a holy charge. It begins with the holy character of our God. We are to acknowledge his holiness. A little review this morning. Been looking here, beginning to look at the Lord's Prayer. Remember, as we're looking at this prayer, that Jesus graciously provides a pattern for prayer here. It's good that we say it together as a church family on the Lord's Day, but it's meant to be a pattern for prayer. We are to model our prayer according to the gospel teachings that Jesus has provided for us here. You know, it begins with the preface. We acknowledge who God is, our Father in heaven, and then there are six petitions, as we'll be looking at. The first three deal with the glory of God. The second set deal with the gracious needs of us as followers, and then it concludes with a note of praise. You know, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So there is a relationship, there are requests, and then closing on that note of rejoicing, if as you are looking for a pattern of prayer. Or for those of you who like alliteration, as I do, and these aren't from me, I'm still trying to track the source, actually 9 P's, and I'll read through them quickly, but if you want them, I'll be glad to send them to you by email. There's a preface, paternity, priority, program, plan, provision, pardon, protection, and closing there with the preeminence of our God. But don't feel you need to know all 9 of those before you can begin to pray. We begin praying here knowing that God is our Father, that we have a relationship. And not only with the creator of the universe, but the God who sent his son Jesus to die for our sins on the cross. We have a relationship with our triune God, Holy Son, Holy Spirit. We have access to him in prayer. We can commune with him. We can confidently come into his presence. Not only when we're together on as a church family on the Lord's Day, but as a family around the supper table or breakfast table, or individually. But here, as we're considering God's holy character, consider this first. There is a revelation of God's character. God makes himself known to us. Hallowed. And actually, it's in the form of a command where we are calling ourselves, Lord, may we hallow your name. It's not optional for us as Christians. J.I. Packer calls this the biggest and most basic request for the whole prayer. The first lesson is to grasp that God matters infinitely more than we do. That's a good principle to keep in mind as we pray. It's not about us. Prayer begins as we acknowledge the holiness of God. And like Moses, we're pleading for God to reveal his glory. Reveal your name to us as humble sinners. You know, God, reveal yourself, reveal your character by revealing your name, your attributes to us. You know, God, show us not only your mighty work of creation, but show us your mercy even in your word. Lord, may we know that you are indeed a gracious and a compassionate God, slow to anger, abundant in steadfast love. You know, think of some treasured titles for God. You're going to see that there's a fair amount of scripture that we're going to reference this morning. And you may, if you have a pencil, piece of paper handy, you may want to jot down some of these because we're going to move through these quickly. But, you know, consider some titles for God. And here's just a sampling. You know, scripture calls God Jehovah Jireh, meaning the Lord will provide. It's from Genesis chapter 22. We looked at that passage leading up to Christmas. You know, God provided that substitute sacrificial ram so that Isaac's life was spared. You know, God will provide. Another title for God, Jehovah Nisi. The Lord is my banner, from Exodus chapter 17. Really, you need to read the whole chapter, but the situation is this. You know, God's people are in battle. Moses is praying and having others help him in prayer. They defeat the Amalekites, and there at the end, they declare, "The Lord is my banner." The Lord enables his people to conquer the dread enemies, even through the power of prayer. One other title, Jehovah Tzidkenu, is the Lord is our righteousness. From Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 6. Let me read that verse. Jeremiah 23, 6. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely, and this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. So even as we are calling upon God, declaring, you know, you are the Lord, our righteousness, we know that we are unrighteous. We need the righteousness of Christ. You know, here Scripture is telling us is that God reveals his character to us. He tells us his name. And we are to reverence that name. Sanctify, hallowed be your name. May we reverence your name. May we esteem, may we prize your name. May we not profane your name. May we treat your name with reverence and awe. You know, think of Moses and God appearing to Moses at the burning bush. And then later on, that's in Exodus 3, then later on in Exodus chapter 6, you know, as the Lord was graciously revealing himself to Moses, and Moses was wondering, well, by what power, what strength, what authority am I going to appear before Pharaoh? Why will God's people listen to me? And the Lord tells Moses, say therefore to the people of Israel, Exodus 6, 6. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, or Jehovah, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. We are to reverence God's name. You know, we catch glimpses of that call to reverence God's name in Scripture. That first hymn we sang, Holy, 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 is based on Isaiah chapter 6. You know, God reveals himself to his servant, to the prophet Isaiah. You know, we hear that truth of Scripture, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And what is Isaiah's response there in Isaiah chapter 6? It brings about a gracious repentance. And then as well, it brings about a restoration. Isaiah knows he's a man of unclean lips. And yet God graciously reveals himself to this, his servant. You know, we are to reverence God's name. J.C. Ryle put it this way, a great book, The Holiness of God, commended for our reading. I need to reread it, but he writes this: by the name of God, we mean all those attributes under which he is revealed to us: his power, wisdom, holiness, justice, mercy, and truth. By asking that they may be hallowed, we mean that they may be known and glorified. And so when we are praying that, Lord, hallowed be your name, may we know your name, may we glorify your name. May you not be may we not be in a casual relationship with you. You know, today people sometimes speak of having casual friends. You know, I haven't quite figured that one out. I think it's contradiction in terms. What's a casual friend? You know, a casual friend is you call them occasionally. And if a long time goes before you talk, you really don't miss it. You know, a casual friend, infrequent contact, and you're not really interested or concerned about a close relationship. You know, they're just a casual friend. And I use that word so that to give this truth is, I believe, one of the great sins committed by Christians, and I would include myself there, is we have a casual relationship with God. You know, God, you know, I may spend time today with you in prayer and your word. I might be a part of the worshiping church family, may get together with other friends, but, you know, if I don't, you know, I'll catch you next time. And here God in his word says, if you're going to hallow my name, if you're going to pray this prayer, know that we are called to know that God reveals himself to us and that we are to revere his name. We are to acknowledge that he is a holy God. You know, and passionate prayer begins as we make it a priority to revere God's holy name. If you're looking to jumpstart your prayer life, you know, begin there. You know, Lord, may I acknowledge your holiness, your holy character. But there's a holy call to worship as well. We're to adore God for his holiness. You know, and again, trying to understand what Scripture is teaching us when it calls God holy and that we are to hallow his name. You'll see that word holy used throughout Scripture. I'll give you a few examples. Old Testament, the tithe, when God's people gave of their tithes and offerings, that was holy. It was a sacred portion given to the Lord. In the temple, they had a table for the showbread, 12 loaves of fresh bread, and the bread on the table there was called holy bread. Even the priest Aaron and his sons were anointed with oil, sprinkled with sacrificial blood, and they were called holy. It doesn't mean they were perfect or without sin, but they were set apart for God's special gracious purposes. You know, and just as a footnote there, we as believers are not to worship holy things. We're not to worship altars, statues, people. We're only to worship our holy God who loves us in Christ. Oh, and with this holy call to worship, we're called to worship the holy Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not Christmas, but if you go back to the beginning of Luke's gospel, the angel Gabriel is speaking to Mary, Virgin Mary, and tells Mary the child to be born will be called the Holy One, the Holy Son of God. And then just a few breaths later in what we call Mary's Magnificat, Mary herself says this of Jesus, and holy is his name. Go to Mark's gospel, there's a man with an unclean spirit who even acknowledges the holiness of Christ. Mark chapter 1, verse 24, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And we are called to worship God. You know, turn with me for a minute or two to Psalm 99. That was our responsive reading. Let me read three verses again. We've already read them, but to highlight them, Psalm 99, verse 3, verse 5, verse 9. Psalm 99, verse 3, let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he. And then verse 5, exalt the Lord our God, worship at his footstool. Holy is he. And then the last verse, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. So in Psalm 99, we are to rejoice in this glorious gospel truth that God reigns on his throne and reveals himself to us, and we respond. No, this is not just a theological information that we store somewhere in the back of our minds. You know, there's an immediate, heartfelt, loving response to the revelation of God's holiness, and that is the response of worship. We praise, verse 3, God's great and awesome name, for he is holy. Then verse 5, we exalt, we lift high the name of our God. We worship at his footstool. We're in his presence. Again, holy is he. That holiness is not meant to drive us from God, but God reveals his holiness to draw us to himself in worship, in love, and in adoration and praise. And then finally, verse 9, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, in other words, in his holy presence, for the Lord our God is holy. You know, we're called to worship our holy God, and there's a challenge for us. You know, beloved, you might ask the question, as I ask myself the question, well, how can I worship a holy God? I'm an unholy sinner. You know, I know I'm trusting in Christ. You all are trusting in Christ for your salvation. That's my prayer for all of you. But how can we worship a holy God? A holy, holy, holy God. And Scripture is very plain here. Hebrews 12, verse 14, without holiness, no one will see God. You know, and there we need to know that we are trusting and knowing, resting fully in God's holiness, the righteousness of Christ. But we cannot speak of God's holiness without speaking of God's holy love for us in Christ. You know, there's a glorious gospel truth. This portion of Ephesians, this was my aha moment this week in studying Scripture. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Well, let me begin with verse 3. Thinking about coming into God's holy presence through the person and work of Christ. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him, that is in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. You know, the truth there is that God declares us righteous in Christ. He chooses us in Christ. Why? So that we would be holy and blameless before him. And that will be true on that day when we appear before our loving Heavenly Father. When he sees us, he will see us as holy and blameless because of the holiness of Christ. And we have a taste of that even now, and it ought to lead us to worship and to praise. Now, in the order of worship of Reformed churches, they often sing what's called the Gloria Patri, Glory be to the Father. And it's a very simple melody. It's a very short hymn. We'll try it here one Sunday. But the words are simply this: Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen and amen. It was written in the second century, as best they can determine, meant to defend the gospel and the doctrine of the Trinity, God three in one, God the Father, Holy Son, Holy Spirit. But we are giving glory to every person of the Trinity in our worship. The holiness of God, the holiness of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the holiness of the Holy Spirit. So there is the holy character of God, a holy call to worship God. Finally, there's a holy charge to witness. We're not only to acknowledge his holiness and to adore him, but we are called to announce his holiness. With our own personal walk of holiness. You know, as followers of Christ, we bear his holy name. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16 tells us this: But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. You know, it's not a works righteousness here. It's not, well, if I act holy, then God's going to be pleased and accept me. But our holiness shows that we are bearing that fruit of God's gospel before a watching world. And so really with this prayer, we are praying this: Lord, may others see your holy love in me. May others see your holy joy in my life. May others see your holy peace in my life, even in times of great persecution, pain, trial, tribulation. John Calvin asked his congregation this question: I ask you whether you pray, because diligence in prayer is the secret of eminent holiness. You know, we don't have that strength in our own resources to live that holy life. You know, that's where we need the Holy Spirit indwelling us. We need the holy truth of God's word. And so I would ask you two questions. If you're struggling with sin, are you praying? If your heart's like mine, when we're sinning and that sin begins to harden our heart, that's one of the first things to go is prayer. And then specifically, are you praying this petition? Lord, hallowed be your name. Lord, may I see your name as holy. May I acknowledge that you are a holy God. May I adore you for your holiness. May I live in holiness because my heart is filled with the love of a holy God who loves me in Christ. There's a personal walk in holiness. There's a public witness for Christ as well. You know, that we as a church as God's people are called to live holy lives. You know, and beloved, this is going to grow harder in the days ahead, even here in our own country. It's not going to get easier. As we stand for the truth of God's word, we stand upon the clear principles of Scripture. There will be a struggle, an increasing struggle. But God calls us to announce his holiness, and not only to speak it, but to show his holy love, his merciful love towards others. We are to proclaim God's holy name. You know, as we pray this first petition of the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be your name, we are praying that God's glory, his holiness, may shine in our lives, in our homes, in his church, in this his community, so that others might come to saving faith in Christ. Again, John Calvin put it this way: the substance of this petition is, this one here, that the glory of God may shine in the world and may be duly acknowledged by men. You know, that's our prayer. Lord, may your glory shine. May we be your radiant witnesses here in a dark, depraved, fallen world that is chained in sin. It's not just a breath of fresh air, it's a breath of life-giving air. You know, there in heaven, we will still be worshiping God for his holiness. Revelation 15:4, for you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you. You know, beloved brothers and sisters, let us ever be learning to pray this model prayer. And may it be our priority to worship God, our holy God, and to bear witness to his holy love for us in Christ. Let's pray. Father, indeed, you are a holy God, and we are amazed and humbled that you reached out to us in holy love in Christ. You drew us out of the tomb of sin. You called us to yourself. You clothed us in your righteousness. Now you call us your sons and daughters. And Lord, may that knowledge, that truth of your holiness, not only deepen our worship, but Lord, might it drive us to show and to speak of the holy love of God in Christ. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.